following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Why'd you do this to me? Why'd you do this to me? Cthulhu Chronicles is on right now.
Drops on my guitar.
I mentioned before that I was in Europe. It's not the first time that I was in Europe. I was in Europe many years ago with Ernest Hemingway. Hemingway had just written his first novel, and Gertrude Stein and I read it, and we said that it was a good novel, but not a great one, that it needed some work, but it could be a fine book. And we laughed over it, and Hemingway punched me in the mouth. That winter, Picasso lived on the Rue de Bach. He had just painted a picture of a naked dental hygienist in the middle of the Gobi Desert. Gertrude Stein said it was a good picture, but not a great one. And I said it could be a fine picture. We laughed over it. Hemingway punched me in the mouth. I remember Scott and Zelda Fitzgerald came home from their wild New Year's Eve party. It was April. Scott had just written Great Expectations, and Gertrude Stein and I read it, and we said it was a good book, but there was no need to have written it, because Charles Dickens had already written it. And we laughed over it, and Hemingway punched me in the mouth. And that winter, we went to Spain to see Manoletti fight, and he was, looked to me, 18, and Gertrude Stein said, no, he was 19. But that he only looked 18. And I said, sometimes a boy of 18 will look 19, whereas other times a 19-year-old can easily look 18. And that's the way it is with a true Spaniard. And we laughed over that, and Gertrude Stein punched me in the mouth.
Hemingway, that mother fricker back in the mouth there. Wake up, it's night, you sunburnt sickleman. Come hither from the furrow and be merry, make holiday. It's time once again for this. Philosophical entertainment, irrelevant, irreverent, netterati, couple surface netaholics and infomaniacs. I am Curious Yellow, and you should be too. Right here, live on SRN Media Works and all our affiliated stations. It's time for me to chronicle. So I shall. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. It's me, Commander Cthulhu, right here. Yes, sir, no need to salute. Just kneel before me and say, how are you? How are you? How are you? Yes, my name is Frank Cthulhu. Man's name is on the title of the show. And you better wake up, because it is night. It's always night somewhere on this planet and other planets where it is even darker. What? This is it. This is tonight, Y2K plus 14, and we're going to have shortly the one, the only, Kurt Brando from the United Arab Emirates, the UAE. Say hello to the UAE. It's the place you want to be, from the national. Kurt, what can I say about Kurt? I mentioned him so much week after week based on some of the things he's brought to the table of this program. And by the way, this program does have a table, and it has an index. We have a table of contents, and he has done so much for us and for the world of alternative broadcasting. You have no idea. And you should. If you are not a veteran listener of this show, as aside from veteran listener, collector of all these, there are shows we don't even have. Okay. They've been on so long, and we've been through such turmoil and storms of computer, ill computer torrents, and just making this up as I go along, as always. That's what I do. Kurt Brando is here, and we'll find out. I guess it's 13, 14 hours later. Maybe it's morning in United Arab Emirates. We're going to talk about Bitcoins, and I could not do a show about Bitcoins because I would have had to read an article. And then the article would have been, I would have added to it and talked about it as we went along, on posing many, many questions. Kurt, as I mentioned, why he comes every once in a while is beyond me, but he does. And he's a fine sense of humor, and you'll just, if you haven't experienced him before on this show or any other show, the digital slob, as he's known, will be here briefly, shortly. And then for the whole time, we're going to talk, because he is over there. Amazingly, just so far, when this once again brings up this technology, which should blow most people's minds, a phrase that I swore we'd never use again, blowing your mind, is there it goes. Okay, so never say never, because if you say never and then you do it, never goes away, and you have to say never again. I am the Bard of Broadcasting, and what do we got? Well, as we promised up until this point, the end of March, then down in March 2014, that we would have a whole bunch of wonderful things, and we did. And Kurt Brando, how many of you would be Bert Crando? That could work too. Kurt Brando winds up March, and then we go into April. And April is not entirely set, because this is the way we do things here. For instance, Oscar winner Robin Matthews, who was supposed to be on before she won an Oscar, then won an Oscar, and now is so busy we have to keep putting it off. She's in Paris now. Now, that's not, okay, now you might be saying, big deal. Kurt Brando is in the United Arab Emirates. Why can't she be on in Paris? Well, because she's got work to do. She's an Oscar winner. Immediately when you win an Oscar, thousands of employment opportunities open up. Not that she didn't have any, but or many, but she did have any and many. Annie and Minnie. There's only one letter that separates Annie and Minnie. So she'll be on as soon as we can get her on. So we keep moving that along. We're going to have Dr. Woldar and Sky will be here for our Big Bang Theory get-together. I'm only start calling that. I'm only, listen to that sentence. I'm only start calling. I have only started calling it that since my penchant for the American developed and sitcom, The Big Bang Theory, came along. And I was way late on that one, too. It's not like 7 seasons before I get into it. I was a busy guy. I'm a busy man. I got a lot of things to do. And when I'm not doing those things, I'm busy doing nothing. And nothing can be a very busy, can eat up a lot of time. But Dr. Woldar will be here. Sky will be here. We'll be talking about this, any number of things going on out there in the universe and discoveries every single day. And, of course, the new cosmos is on. And the new cosmos means that there's other stuff going on. They had to redo that Carl Sagan show because there are billions and billions of new things happening. So they had to do it again. And Carl, may he rest in peace, would have loved this. And it's a shame that he's missing all the great things that are happening. But, you know, among all of us, who knew better that this stuff would happen but Carl Sagan? And now a moment of silence for Carl Sagan. Time's up. Let's move on. So we're also going to have, I'm hoping to do, Savino will be back, of course. And then we're going to have a budding actress, Ms. Williams, will be here sometime or other. And our friend from the, our makeup friend, Dana Rotella, who makes up, speaking of the Big Bang Theory, because they're really into comic books and everything like that, the cosplay stuff, and the comic conventions, and the, and Dana will be here to report about all that stuff going on. The season of that amazing, what is it? I don't know, that amazing genre of people who get together and do stuff. And there's even other things. I didn't even finish this list. So it's going to be, it should be a great April. There are 4 shows, the 3rd, the 10th, the 17th, and the 24th, and we'll be happy to bring you many, 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 many wonderful people on that. And what else will we be doing? We'll be doing any number of things as we don't really have these plans written in stone. I don't do it that way. But this Bitcoin thing, that Kurt is going to talk about. This is fascinating. So if I have as many questions as you have, how do I know how many questions you have? Well, I don't know. Maybe you know all about it. I don't know a lot about it. I'm just here to find out about it. And because people were saying, talk about that Bitcoin thing. Talk about that. They email me. Hey, Cotolo on your Chronicles. Talk about that Bitcoin thing. I don't know anything about it. And the truth of the matter is, as opposed to the lie of the matter, the truth of the matter is I've been trying to get Kurt on to talk about anything for a long time, but he's a busy, talking about busy men, busy, busy man. Do you know where to find the United Arab Emirates on your map? Huh? Do you know that? Any kind of map. Rand McNally? Does Rand McNally still make maps, or is it all like, because Google Earth is here, Rand McNally didn't go out of business. Are those two men, Rand and McNally, or is his name Rand McNally? I mean, Rand Paul, his first name is Rand. Is that short for Randolph? I don't know. Also, don't forget, every Friday, aside from 148.ca/Frank, and boy, this week, some great stuff there, from my private diary, 148.ca. .ca/Frank. Notes from my personal diary. And there's no years in there. That's a lot of fun. And then on Fridays for the political pulp, it's what it's called, the political pulp, the poop, the pulp, the pranks, you could go to Montreal Jewish News, where we're shaking them up in Quebec too. I have conquered Canada. That's it. Montreal Jewish News, every Friday, if you read stuff about what's going on in the world from the Israeli angle and what's going on in the United States from my angle, and you get an idea what angle I'm talking about when I'm talking about my angle, you could just bet that that's going to be fun. And it is fun. So go on and do that. Then, what else? Coming up, I'm going to tell you a couple of more new things. Maybe they're not new things. Maybe they're new to you. Maybe you hearing them for the first time, and I've already said them. Lord knows, I don't know what I have said on this show that I haven't said before, in private, on mic or off mic. But there's a lot of things going on, and we're going to tell you more about what we do have to do this because there are books to sell.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuicedTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like one a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time, okay?
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the Artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that? All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
I also want to mention that you can go to, I'm going to say this as opposed to playing that awful spot I did, Molotov Memoirs, because it doesn't mention the digital book. And more people would like to buy the digital book, because it's cheaper, right? But I want to mention that you can go get the digital book for $3.99 or whatever. It's less than a pack of cigarettes. Did you ever think you'd see that? A book that costs less than a pack of cigarettes? Nobody ever thought that. Certainly not in World War I, World War II, and the Korean War, not in the Vietnam confrontation. Didn't call it the Vietnam War. Yeah, they did. The Vietnam War. Not in the... I don't know how to go through this. Anyway, you can get it for $3.99. If you buy a original hardcover, which you can get there, for 30-something bucks, God knows where you're going to get 30-something bucks, but you might be a person who has... That might be pocket change to you, as opposed to wherever else you would keep it. Wallet change, pocket change, bag change. Maybe you carry stuff around in a little plastic bag change, whatever the case may be. If you get one of those and you send it to me, I will write something in it, I will autograph it, and the postage will be mine to send it back to you as quickly as possible. And you will have a collector's item. Number one, you'll have the hard covers don't sell that big. The soft covers sell better. And then, of course, now they sell because everybody can get it for $3.99. But it's still important because these wonderful pictures by T. Stephen Gessick are just fabulous. This is a wonderful book and you will love it. You will laugh at it, and that's wonderful. So go get that. Also want to send you over to, if you haven't gotten there yet, and you like to read stuff by me, or not even just by me, cutting-edge journalism in this fabulous digital age, the forculture.com. Forculture.com. F-O-U-R, forculture. For culture or not for culture? That is the question. Forculture.com. I'm over there. It comes out every other month. There are already 11 issues, and you can see them all online. This is a fabulous book. It's a book, but it's a digital, virtual book. Fabulous, of course. So the main person is the Artist D, orchestrating. Everybody's working there, putting this fabulous book out. And well before Time Magazine or whoever, U.S. News Report, World Report, all those people who did all those magazines said, you know, we better go digital. For Culture was there, right there. Talk about cutting edge, or that's it. So there's For Culture. There's, you get all these things digital. You could even go to, if you go to lulu.com, L-U-L-U, L-U-L-U.com, put in Frank Cotolo, all those books, four of them over there, you could get those for on digital too. Or you can get them and you can print them out. It's amazing what you could do these days. It's just absolutely amazing. And it continues to amaze me. Don't take this for granted, my friends, because, you know, you get into a lot of trouble if you take things for granted, especially this fabulous, I keep saying fabulous, I keep using that word, D's on my mind, fabulous. Well, that was D talking at Juice Talk Radio. Well, you can go to Juice Talk Radio, or actually just go to juicetalk.com, and we got archived there. So if there's shows you missed, you could put them, you download them there. It doesn't cost you anything. And then you put them on whatever you put them on. I put them on your shirt. Put them in your iPod, iPad, iPhone. Anything that's possessive, the eyes have it. That's what the deal might be with that. If you have any requests, if you have anything you'd like me to talk about, or ideas, or things, or you know someone who should talk to me, or someone might be on this show, or anything like that. fcatolo@yahoo.com is where you can go. Recently hacked. I had to change my password, but you should do that every once in a while. Anyway, they hacked. They just shut down. It was a crazy Yahoo stuff. There's been a lot of villains out there. A lot of chicanery going on in the cyberspace chicanery going on out there in this Netarati is cool. I love that word. The words that come about, these new words that come about, even though, what's missing from over here? I just saw an empty space on the desk, I guess. Okay. Well, as opposed to me just bantering around, is it bantering? Is that what I'm doing? Am I bantering? Oh, that's what I was going to tell you. One more thing we're going to do. We're going to try. This is going to be crazy. I'm going to have to be really drunk for this. Maybe we'll do that. That's an old Steve Allen thing where you start off the show and you keep drinking just to show you how badly you lose your senses when you drink. Maybe I should do that when I do this show. We're going to do the Cambodian Cocktails Chronicles. That comes from the fact that we have an out-of-tune piano, and we're going to be like Cambodians being notorious for having little cafes where music's out of tune, and they don't seem to have a good ear. And I'm saying that with all due respect to Cambodians. So if you're out there and you're a Cambodian, please don't take this personal. Plenty of Italians can't sing and don't know anything about flowers. So, you know, Cambodians might not have the greatest pitch. But I'm going to do, and when you hear not the greatest pitch, you're going to hear me. Maybe we'll get an audience, too, here. We'll get some people to come by and hang out. A real party. The Cambodian Cocktails Chronicles is going to open. It's going to be a cafe-type thing, and I'm going to sit by the piano, which you can't see, but it's right over there. A real piano, and I'm not going to get it tuned. I'm not even going to fix the sticky G key. Key? Yeah, key. The sticky G key. I'm going to keep this exactly as it stands right now. It's a beautiful piano. It just needs to be tuned, but I'm not going to get it tuned. And so, and we're going to sit there and do songs, and you, people are going to call in, and they're going to write in, doo-doo, you're going to hear the boo-boo, and you're going to say, hey, play this one, play that one, and we're going to make them up. We're going to ask you for titles, and then we're going to make up the songs right there. This is a show that that cannot be done by many people in alternative broadcasting. I'm going to do it, and it's going to be fun. When? Sometime in April. Should be the April Fool's show, huh? Well, no, we're not on April Fool's. April 3rd is April Fool's. Here's what we're going to do now. We're going to stop all this promoting and demoting, and we're going to tell you to get your... Is that an airplane? This is a long time since I heard an airplane come over the studio. Do you hear that? Okay. We're going to... What was I going to do? I was going to tell you to get your beverage of a choice so you could replenish your precious bodily fluids. You're going to be talking to a very smart man, very funny man, an erudite man, and yet a digital slob, Kurt Brando, shortly. How shortly? Let's just get him, I'd say. Why don't we do that now? And we'll start a little early because we've been waiting for Kurt to be on under any circumstances. From the United Arab Emirates, from the UAE... From the UAE.
Hello.
From the UAE, now directly in the Middle East of planet Earth, thanks to Skype and technology, here is the one, the only, Kurt Brando with an A.
Hello, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, and finer, even though that's not a word, because here you are. Again, after
That's right.
I've You must be very, very busy.
Yeah, I'm a kind of a busy boy. But I'll do anything for you. We'll talk about, what's your catchphrase? Wake up, it's night. How about go to sleep, it's the morning. It's
what time is it?
It's 5:30 in the morning here, but that's okay. I drank a Red Bull and I'm ready to go.
That's a metaphor, and it's a wonderful book, a little book, anyway, it's one of those scholastic books about night creatures.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's out of print, and I have it right here. I think I can. If I put this little book on eBay, where is it? It's over here. I'll check. You get like $2-3.
I get the feeling you probably have like $500,000 worth of eBay stuff somewhere all over the place. That's how I think of you, Frank. I don't know why.
It's probably true. And I told everyone here before, as I do, about that I mention you so often because there are so many things that have come to pass in this digital platform world of ours now, and this that you came on here and told us about, and specifically one that really always knocks me over is Twitter.
Right.
You came here.
That was kind of a big one. Yeah,
that was a real big one. And now, you know why? Now I hear they lost $213 million last year or something.
Yeah, so you have to be important to lose that much money.
So. What was the IPO on that? $20 or something?
Something like that, mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, I've been thinking about it. I think I was thinking about it, too, because it's been a while since I've been on the show. But I think I was on your show. It was between 8 and 10 years ago, the first time.
Yes.
And I definitely remember hearing you say Y2K plus 6. So I don't know. I'm dating it back to 2006, but... And I was thinking about Bitcoin, and this is the newest thing that sort of stimulated my research. And it's sort of, when I think about it, Bitcoin is kind of like the grandchild of something else. I think that one of the first things we talked about was Napster. You remember Napster?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that really goes back. You know, there are so many listeners who don't go back that far with this show that they, Napster.
If there was an old black and white picture on the with dust on it that said Napster, that's how I would think about it right now. It's been so long ago, but it was really only like 8 or 9 years ago, or 10 years ago maybe.
It goes. It goes to show how much has happened in such a little bit of time in reference to time. Right?
Right.
I mean, you're talking about two. First of all, there are people, so many new people, not new people, they're not babies. I mean, they're people who have, listened, picked up on this show over the past couple of years, and they like, what do you mean? Was there even internet radio back then? Because,
But you were always on the forefront of the internet radio, and you're one of the real the people who started the whole thing. And I remember talking about Napster, and we were discussing the debate about file sharing and the recording industry trying to bankrupt single mothers with children because they downloaded a Michael Jackson song off the wrong link. And so we talked about a lot of that stuff. But Bitcoin really is the grandchild of Napster and P2P, and sort of the parent or the child of P2P file sharing.
P2P, okay, peer-to-peer. Let's get into that, but I want to do one thing, because there aren't a lot of people who were back there, way back there, although they've heard your name over and over again, a lot of people hearing you for the first time. When Kurt is a humorist and had a journalist, and he was, when I met him, we talked, you were doing podcasts, you were the digital slob.
Yes.
You came on when podcasts started. Remember that? I mean, that was a whole new big thing.
Right. You were doing internet radio, and I sort of jumped on at the podcast stage.
And podcasts actually helped me, because once people were able to pick it up and play it again, and back then they used to have to use, dare I say, iPods?
iPods,
which really sounds ridiculous now. If you have an iPod, right? It's like it's like the Model T of mobile phones and stuff. and so we went through all this stuff. And Kurt was in Hawaii working for the Hawaiian Register Chronicle thing. What was it?
that the now defunct Honolulu Star Bulletin closed on me, so I looked for work elsewhere. That's what brought me here to the United Arab Emirates.
And so he works for, and you can all go there, and I do go, and I think that's a marvelous site. Yeah, that's it's a complex, but it's put together very well. It's not busy like, you know, an English tabloid, and it's very erudite, and it's not, as a lot of people might think, Middle East oriented per se.
Right. Well, yeah. What a lot of people don't know about the UAE is UAE is 90% foreigners. So imagine if, like, you know, 90% of Canada was made up of Germans. It really wouldn't be Canada anymore. It'd be sort of like a mix of different cultures. And that's what the UAE is. I would say mostly like South Asian people, but lots of people from Europe and America and Canada. It's really a mix. It's kind of like Miami Beach in a way, but not so many Cubans, but everybody else.
And what proves that is exactly where Kurt Brando is located, in a place named after something, named after word that came out of the Flintstones, correct?
No, I think the locals would disagree with you there. But
where that's how I remember it. You live exactly where I'm not. Please, I'm not living at you. Please, but listen.
Right.
You're at
Abu Dhabi.
But now we do. I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. It's so lowbrow to do that. Abu Dhabi.
That's okay.
Abu Dhabi?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
You know, I think it means the water, basically.
We've seen pictures, and every once in a while they do one of those 20-minute segments on 60 Minutes, and then they go there. And I know a lot of people have seen pictures. And they like to take aerial pictures of the UAE because it's so magnificent from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
The shape of it, and then all those, you got all the, not docks, but you got all those things coming out like a firefly. What is that? Those big long pier streets?
Yeah, they actually made man-made islands here so they could have more beachfront.
Yeah, man-made
islands. That's they have the Palm Island, which is literally shaped like a palm. Fawn, like a palm tree, they don't believe you just can't do it. If somebody can think of it, they put a plan together and they actually make it. They've made the world's tallest building. They looked around and said, you know, we like our beaches, but we would like more of them. So they just made more land out in the middle of the ocean.
They made more land. Isn't that the world's highest building only by floors, but because they just built that, you know, the World Trade Center thing, doesn't that antenna up there go up like 3 more feet or something?
Yeah, and I believe Saudi Arabia is about to build a bigger one, and I think there's plans for us to build a bigger one still. So it just keeps going.
But people laughed at Ronald Reagan when he talked about building a bridge to the moon. I tell you, that's crazy. You know, I would think, you know, if I wasn't who I am, and I am who I am, and that's all that I am, I'm Popeye the Sailor Man, I would think that was a wonderful place, and we're not going to do a lot of talking about this, but we have, you came on once, the first time you came on from the AUE, United Arab, I did it again. I'm dyslexic. I can't even say it. I'm dyslexic. I'm dyslexic. Okay, from there, and we talked about that area and everything that goes on there, and of course what it's like for you to be there. But I was trying to think. Geez, there's a great place to work, and I'm thinking a guy like me wouldn't last, would he?
Well, I don't. That's a real personal question, Frank. I'm not sure how to answer that.
I don't really think I would. I don't think I would. That's why I'm saying it. I'm kind of confirmed. Would you confirm it? Although I was.
How do you handle heat? Can you handle the heat?
Yeah, it's too. That's a lot.
You're in Pennsylvania, right? Which is not very hot. Right?
That's a lot of heat. No, that's really heat. I mean, I lived in California for a long time, but that's. No, that kind of heat. I hate Florida. So you hate Florida, and there's the new slogan. If you hate Florida, you'll hate the UAE, and they're trying to keep people out. What's the population?
It's about, about probably 8 million in the whole country, maybe 3 million in Dubai.
So maybe. It's a lot like New York City.
But it was like 4 million like 7 years ago, so it's really gotten larger. as in the recent history.
And it can get larger because they'll just build more land. They don't care.
Yeah, there's nothing but desert out there to expand on. You know, so they can just keep going.
And the national, tell everyone what you do for the national. I put a link in the on the blog, Cotolo blog, the show blog thing, and they can it'll go right to your page, and tell them what you do.
Well, up to a couple of years ago, I wrote technology stuff. Still, if you Google my name through the national's search engine, you'll see some of my articles I've written about Apple apps for iPhones and. I wrote reviews of new gadgets, you know, for a while. But then I got promoted into editorship, so I haven't been writing as much lately. I've been more editing.
Editorship, but,
Yeah. So now I'm sort of captaining the ship rather than just rowing it.
Well, what about a book?
Yeah. So, well, I'm thinking about that. Actually, the Bitcoin thing sort of got me inspired. We can get into it later, but. Yeah. I've been thinking about what was it that I was going to write about, what was it I was going to focus on, and the Bitcoin thing has really sort of captured my imagination. So I'm thinking about getting back on the horse and putting my personality behind maybe a podcast again or a website that will help bridge the gap between the geeks and the people with the mathematical expertise to really dig deep into Bitcoin and the public at large from trying to figure out what this is all about.
Well, you do that. You do that well. We all need a conduit, and you could be Kurt the Conduit. Kurt the Conduit. I said too. I was thinking about it. Because I always said you can't. You're always on the cutting edge of technology. Man, you're on the curting edge because you come up. How's that? That's a good one too.
I'm gonna go to. GoDaddy right now and save all these domains.
Do it. Yeah, it's all yours. I have nothing to gain from any of this. The only thing I was thinking is the only way I could get to United. I was actually thinking about this today because this is the way my mind works. And I didn't stop what I was doing or think about many things. And I was saying, like, hey, you know what would be great? But now you tell me there's a lot of it's a very mixed crowd over there, so it's not just Arabians. Because I was thinking of writing a musical Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. I thought that, and maybe I could bring it over and open it over there.
Well, you can still make like 35 of the thieves from somewhere else.
Yeah, we could change it. They're not going to sue it unless we go over there. They probably have a copyright. There's a sultan. There's a sultan somewhere sitting with the copyright. We could call. And I was actually thinking, of songs. You know, there's got to be an Open Sesame song and stuff. And you know, in a way, I kind of look Arabian. And if I was out in the sun enough, I think I could look more Arabian than I look Italian. But
that's happened to me a few times. I'd be waiting on a taxi, and someone will come up to me and speak Arabic because they assume I'm from this part of the country. I guess it's in the middle of the summer when I'm really tan. You know?
Yeah. Well, you could get away with that. Sure, you could.
Yeah.
Follow Kurt, also, of course, he's on Twitter. He was one of the first accounts. There were 10 accounts in the beginning, and he was one of them. And he has two accounts, right? At Kurt Brando. And don't forget to put an A in there.
Right.
Except once you start typing it, it'll come up anyway, right?
Yeah, sure. I think, yeah, smart. I don't think there's actually a Kurt Brando exactly with the D-O, so I think it just goes to my name right away.
And at Digital Slob? Right?
Yeah, that's kind of my moniker from the old days.
Yeah, but that's where all the people are, because it was amazing. When I looked the other day, I wrote that thing, and you wrote back to me, because I went, like, how could you have 16 followers? That made me laugh. 16? How could that be? I didn't realize you had it at the time. You had that. Most people at the Digital Slob, where he has 4,623,000. You could still be one of them. So that's the story, and this is Kurt Brando directly from there. We're not joking. He's not in the other room. He's not in the garage. This isn't the Mark Maron show. This is me, Frank Cotolo, and Cotolo Chronicle. I'm chronicling, and today I'm going to talk about that because I've been chasing after you. Every once in a while on Facebook, I would just put a comment, and I know you don't see all your comments. Nobody constantly expands that, right? We give up, don't you?
Yeah, it's just too much to sort through,
But
it's like a rushing torrent, you know, when you're trying to And then one salmon on the way down is going, "Hey, Kurt," and you don't really hear.
Yeah. So, but I was glad when you finally said, "Hey, let's do it. I'll talk about bitcoins." Because people have been asking me about bitcoins, like I should know, because I don't know anything. I always get to people who know things, and then I talk with them, or I get an article, and then I riff off of that, as you know.
Yeah, but you're a naturally curious person, so they know that, so they figure you got to know something.
Yeah, and it's not true, but you know about this. I've, of course, heard about it, but people have been writing to me and talking to me and saying, "Why don't you do something on bitcoins?" And I say things like, "Why don't you shut your whole pie hole?" You know, what do you think?
But before I talk about it, I'm curious about you, because I've only been in the United States about 4 months out of the last 4 years, mm-hmm. For family stuff and stuff. So I don't watch TV, and I'm curious to know what it is you've heard about Bitcoin through the media in the United States, because I don't really watch CNN anymore, or MSNBC, or Fox News, or Fox Business News, or whatever. I was wondering what it is. You've heard the word Bitcoin, right? So in what context did you hear it?
I heard it in compressed reports on the news. I watch the CBS Evening News mostly. I don't spend a lot of time watching talking heads and what have you.
Yeah.
But when they talked about the recent collapse or whatever it was, something, and you'll tell us all about it, that there's this thing called a Bitcoin, and it used to be worth this, but it's not, and it's cyber. And, if you don't have any pretext at all, and you're listening to this thing, you go, "Oh, so there's some kind of currency? What is that? And is it like PayPal? I mean, you put money, you give money. I mean, we don't know. This is what we've heard."
Yeah.
We've heard bitcoins can't be held. They can't be, you don't carry them around with you. They're not actually real. There's a million designs of them if you put them in a Google image thing. What is a Bitcoin? And then there was the guy who started them, who was on, there might have been a 60 Minutes segment, and I didn't so we don't know a lot about them,
right.
And I don't know a lot about them, so if you could start from the beginning, we certainly have the time. You're up now anyway. What are you gonna do?
I can start out by telling you basically what Bitcoin is. It's sort of three things, which is very confusing. And whenever you have one name for three things, it gets very confusing, which is
I have three names, and I'm one thing.
No, but you're one thing with three names. But this is three one thing. This is one name with three things.
Okay, it's the Bitcoin. Let's go. Write this down. Everybody take out your Cotolo Chronicles notebooks and write this stuff down. And then later on, you can do any research. And then you can go to if you have any more questions, you can get Kurt on Twitter. So go ahead. It's all yours.
The first thing Bitcoin is it's a medium of exchange. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's money. People say it's money. But I think money suggests it's more commonly used. It's a question of maturity. It might be money one day, but right now it's just like a medium of exchange, like gold or silver. And another thing that it is a protocol. Now forget about what I just said about money. Bitcoin's also a protocol, kind of like the whole World Wide Web. It's like a foundation from which all these other things can grow, like websites and currency exchanges and contracts and businesses. It can all grow out of Bitcoin using Bitcoin. And the third thing Bitcoin is kind of a social network in the sense that it has network effects. It succeeds because lots of people use it. Just the same way Facebook succeeds because lots of people use it. If there was only 15 people using Facebook, we wouldn't have heard about Facebook. And there was this period where MySpace went down in popularity and Facebook went up. And this is sort of like what Bitcoin is as it's gaining a network effect, it's getting more and more out there. And that's why 4 years, 3 years, 2 years ago, no one had heard of Bitcoin. And now suddenly it's on the news for at least 40 seconds every week anyway.
Is there a bitcom.com or bitcoin.com or something? Is there like a main headquarters?
There's a bitcoin.org, which is sort of like just a homepage where you can go and learn the basics of what Bitcoin is.
Right.
But it was created by an anonymous, or maybe a group of anonymous people that go by the name of Satoshi Nakamoto. And nobody knows anything. He's like the he's like the Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens kind of thing.
That's a person.
Yeah.
That's a person. Sama, who is it? It's a, give me the
Satoshi
name.
Satoshi Nakamoto.
Yakamoto?
Nakamoto, in with an N.
Oh, and Nakamoto. Okay, because, okay.
So nobody really knows, but about 3 or 4 years ago, he came up with this whole thing. It's sort of like he created something that all the other people that know anything about math became fascinated with. And it seemed to solve a lot of problems with, for a long time, people have been trying to figure out how to do a digital currency, but there's a problem with digital currency that is actually a benefit of things we were talking before about Napster and P2P. Like, with P2P, if I'm sending you a song, right? If I'm sharing with you
a file,
a Beatles song, or anything, or a cat picture, or anything,
mm-hmm.
You get a copy of it, but I don't lose that thing. I have the exact same copy.
Unless it's a picture of the Beatles with a cat, then that's that's just against, that's just wrong.
Right, but I don't lose the value if I give you something, right?
Well, you mean value in terms of quality? You mean, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? Right.
I have the exact duplicate of what I gave you.
Right. Right.
And I have the same. I can still enjoy the song just as much as you're going to enjoy the song.
And it's the same thing.
This caused a lot of anger among the recording association, right?
Right.
Because it was something of value that we were diluting the value of it.
Right.
Because we're making copies and copies. Well, that's a great thing for people who share music, but it's kind of a bad thing if you want to make the currency, because the whole point of currency is if I give you $10, then I'm minus $10.
Right.
Right. That's the whole premise.
Wait, are you saying that if you gave me ten bitcoins, you still have 10 bitcoins?
No. That's what this problem solved. That's what Satoshi Nakamoto solved.
Well, wait a second. Well, I'm screwed up on the math here, too. And I'm going to be like all the listeners who don't know anything and ask you a lot of questions. Then let's go through that again. A file is duplicated when we do P2P, which is person. Is that person to person or platform? What is it? Platform to platform?
Peer
to peer. Peer is a person. The person is a peer. Okay. Peer to peer. If I send somebody a copy, or if I just make a copy of any MP3 I have on my desktop, the exact quality is that it loses nothing. Is that okay?
Right.
But I have two now. Okay, so you're saying
but that's bad for a currency, because if I have $10, it's like me Xeroxing a copy of a $10 bill and give it to you. That's counterfeit, right? That's against the law.
Right.
It would destroy our monetary system. But what Satoshi Nakamoto figured out is through some use of cryptography, which sounds like I use the word cryptography. I'm really not a math whiz, so I still think. Of just because magic, because of cryptography, it allows me to. If I send you the Bitcoin, then I have lost the Bitcoin.
So then, there's a special kind. That's got a number. When you say encryption, it would be like a serial number. This is a special one.
A long number that just changed, and I don't know what it is anymore. And you have it, and the only way I can get it back is if you send it back to me.
So then Okay. All right. I think the question is obvious here now. It's kind of like Fort Knox. I mean, there's X amount of gold in there. So this Sache Hachi Hache Huchu said, how do you create this thing? I mean, did somebody start by saying, a million?
It was literally like a software program.
Wow.
And, he hit enter and posted it on a blog somewhere. And, it's created this entire firestorm. It's kind of like somebody, some of the advocates have compared it to Pythagoras or something. Somebody who invented calculus or something.
Wow.
Right? This is that big of a deal, because what it does is eliminates the need for a centralized monetary system. Like, how can I put this? If I wanted, imagine I wanted to send you $5,000 right now.
Okay.
Well, how would I do that? Well, I'm in Abu Dhabi. You're in the United States. Well, first I would have to go to my bank where I have my $5,000 and prove to the bank that I have $5,000 to send you, right?
Yeah.
So then they would say, yes, you have $5,000. And I'll sign all these forms and pay these processing fees. And we, as the bank of some good reputation, we'll send money to another bank who trusts us, and that bank belongs to you. and we trust them and they trust us because mm-hmm. we're a big bank and we have a lot of people, we employ a lot of people. So you and I are trusting the banks. If I said I'm sending you $10,000, you wouldn't believe me, but the bank, it goes into your bank and then you know, yes, it's there. Your bank says, yes, it's there.
Well, it just doubled.
Well, all that.
It just,
you know, yeah.
Because you were sending me five. I like this. I like these two banks.
So all that requires a third party. Mm-hmm. All that requires adjudication. All that requires me and you finding someone we both trust because naturally we don't trust each other.
Naturally.
So naturally. So, but all that costs a lot of money and all that puts that third party in control of maybe more than we want them to be in control with. There's lots of fees and transactions. If we're both have the Bitcoin accounts and I want to send you a Bitcoin, I can do that in seconds. It costs me maybe a penny and you'll get it in a few minutes. And, we don't need anybody between us, confirming that it happened because the cryptography does that for us. The math does that for us.
Well, the obvious question here is why is that Bitcoin worth anything? What backs it? Why is that Bitcoin worth? Because you say it's $5,000, $1, or what denominations are they?
That's one of the fascinating circular philosophical questions because what I learned about this through my experience is how little we know about what real money is. Like, you know, what we sort of just know from muscle memory that the dollar is backed by the federal government, but it's not really backed by gold or anything. It's something everyone sort of agreed to.
Right.
You know, if I give you a $10 bill, you look at it, you go, oh yeah, I know that. That's a $10 bill. So, but what makes Bitcoin valuable is the network effect, which is if you go to an exchange right now and says one Bitcoin is worth $500. Why is that? Well, because somebody is willing to sell it for $500 and someone else is willing to buy it for $500. That means makes it worth $500. It's sort of like what gives gold any value or silver any value aside from its, maybe industrial use, which is kind of, that was from the old days.
So in following up on that, if someone says, I don't want that to be worth $500. I'll give you $250 for it. This can be like pushes and various things that go on in terms of the value of stocks and is it like that?
It's like this. Right now, you can get Bitcoins on these exchanges, and they have daily prices that fluctuate wildly because it's this new thing. So anytime somebody, extravagant millionaire buys, you know, $2 million worth of Bitcoin, the price will soar up because he just took a lot of Bitcoin out of the market, you know.
Took them out of market. How many are there? A certain amount or something? Where are they?
Yes. One of the things Satoshi Nakamoto built into his system is the fact that this is a deflationary currency or medium of exchange in the sense that in order to get these things, it's kind of complicated, but people have to virtually mine them. Like they're miners. If you can imagine, like, it's sort of like World of Warcraft, which makes people, you know, roll their eyes. It's all this virtual mining. It's not actual going out and digging for gold, but it's virtually the effect is the same. So people have to go out and mine these things, and there's only 21 million Bitcoins that will ever be created.
Oh, okay. So there's the number. There's 21 million?
Million.
Bitcoin.
21 million Bitcoins.
Why did they come up with that? Any reason for that number?
Not that I'm aware of. It seems to be almost an arbitrary
number.
But what was important wasn't so much the number, but the trouble it would take to get them, it would get harder and harder and harder. So at first it was really easy to get Bitcoins by mining. You could use a laptop computer to do them.
Now explain, define mining under these circumstances.
Well, what you would do is you would download a software program, and your computer would just do all this work for you. It's proof of work. Your computer would, when use all of its generations of its hard drive to sort of do all this math until it came across one of these special numbers that was a Bitcoin number.
All right.
And that happened pretty fast at first, but every cycle or so, every couple of years, you would get exponentially harder to find these Bitcoins. So now there's about 12 million Bitcoins that have been quote-unquote discovered, and that happened in the first 4 years, but it's going to take like 100 years to get the rest of them. It's going to get exponentially harder to mine. Just like in real life, you remember the gold rush of California?
Right.
You know, at first gold was just sitting there to be picked up, but then it got more and more costly. They had big caves and mines, and it cost, you know, so the price of gold went up because it got harder and harder. So this, if it becomes money, it will be a deflationary money. That is to say, unlike the dollar, which is inflationary, Bitcoin will be deflationary. So it'll be worth more tomorrow. It will tend to be worth more tomorrow than it's worth today. Right? So that creates its own dynamic. But unlike the Fed, you're not going to be able to print more of these things. So if the problem with the federal, like the problem with the dollar, if there is a problem, is that it's much more reliable than Bitcoin, but everybody knows that, a dozen eggs and some bread is going to cost more next year than it costs this year because the Fed keeps printing money, which reduces the value of the dollar year over year. Right?
Right.
So in our lifetimes, things have only gotten more expensive. They haven't gotten less expensive.
Right.
And that's because it's sort of built into the system. So they would make us more of a consumer-based society, so we would go out and buy stuff. If you thought your dollar today was going to be worth $2 tomorrow, you would wait and go to the store tomorrow. You wouldn't buy so much stuff, right? And that would create deflation, and that's not good for the economy. So I'm sorry if I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. Let me back up and tell you about how I found out about Bitcoin.
Okay, do that. We'll be talking with Kurt Brando from the United Arab Emirates here as we chronicle, and he's telling us about Bitcoins now. Follow along, okay? Get with the program, people. Go ahead. Now, I'd like to say how he found out, and give us dates, too, so that we got an idea of the history of this.
Right. Well, when I was about 14 months ago, I was bored. I was between airplanes and airport, and I said, wait a minute, I'm not in the United States. I could play online poker. Right? So I thought, okay. So I went to an online poker site and I pulled out my credit card and I put in $50 into this online poker site. And I'm playing poker for a little while and I get up to $67. But then my flight's about to leave and I go, okay, well, I consider that a huge victory to be $17 ahead.
Yes.
I'm not good at poker.
It is good.
So I said, well, now I'm going to try to take my money out. It was really easy to put my money into this site. Now I'm going to try to take my money out of the site. Well, guess what? In order to get my money out of the site, I had to send in like 15 different verifications of my identity by snail mail or something. They made it really hard, for me to get my money out. So I was like, well, that's pretty stupid. But one of the things they had on this site was you could convert your money to Bitcoin, right? And I was like, what the heck is Bitcoin?
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like some sort of sham. And I'm like, well, maybe I can convert it to Bitcoin and then get that into my account without having to send all my ID. So I transferred, at the time, I think the Bitcoins were worth maybe $13 a piece or something. So I transferred all of my $67 into Bitcoin. I got like, it amounted to about almost five Bitcoins. But then my plane was about to leave, right? So I couldn't fiddle with it anymore. So I put my computer in, and I forgot all about it. This is like one of those stories out of fable. So I forgot all about it for like a year. And so then my friend who's at work, who works in the business section, he wrote he wrote a column about Bitcoin. He was generally very negative about it, said it was a very risky and very foolish thing to get involved with. And so I read his article, but when I read it, I was like, hey, wait a minute, I think I have some Bitcoin somewhere, but I couldn't remember which poker site it was. But I did some digging, and I remembered my password and everything. And I went and I said, yeah, I got 5 Bitcoin. And in December of last year, the Bitcoins were worth $1,200 each.
Wow, that's quite a jump.
Right. So for my... So for $67 that I put into that poker site, I got out over $5,000.
So you really, in reality, you can send me $5,000 now. Is that, okay. So,
right. So I immediately moved that money into my bank account back in the United States.
Okay. Now, how did you do that? Now, who cashes the Bitcoin?
Right. The site that it was on, I transferred the Bitcoin to an exchange called MT Gox, which you may have heard of as being like the Titanic of Bitcoin. It lost everyone's money recently. And lost millions of Bitcoin. Everybody's heartbroken.
That's the one that was probably made. That the one that made the national news. That made the worldwide news.
Right.
Then. Yeah. Okay.
Right. That's was recently. But in December, I moved it from that exchange to another exchange called Coinbase. .com, and all they needed was, you know, some verification of my address to link up to my bank account, just like if you were trading stocks.
Right.
It's a real simple site. You put in your name, put in your bank account information, and it gets a back and forth link between this site, which deals with Bitcoins, and your bank account. So I transferred that $5,000 from Coinbase into my bank account, and I was happy. But then I woke up a couple of days later, and I said, well, this isn't any fun. I'm not in the game anymore. Yeah, that was quite a thrill. So I bought and 4 days later, there was another major earthquake when China said that they weren't going to take Bitcoin anymore. And the price of Bitcoin went from $1,200, a peak of $1,200, which is right around where I sold it. It was pure luck. And then 4 days later, it went down to $600. It lost its value to $600. And everybody asked, did you get your money out? I was like, yeah. The part of me was like, now I could buy a couple of these for like, I'd still be up like $3,000 or $4,000, right? So I bought a couple more Bitcoin. So then that got me in the game. And when I was in the game, I began to research it. And so that's when I got real curious about it. I got on YouTube and I looked at all the talk about it. Apparently there's lots of videos on YouTube about it. And I realized that Bitcoin is a little bit like a inkblot test or a Rorschach test or whatever. It's sort of like whatever your preconceived notions are, you sort of put into this thing. If you're a libertarian or I've learned all these new phrases, anarcho-capitalist is a combination.
Is that a capitalist who falls asleep?
Right. Well, there's been
anarcho-capitalist. What is that?
You can't shake a stick now without bumping into a Bitcoin conference that are all over the United States now.
Okay.
Yeah. So they all have conferences and they all put their videos up and they all talk about them. Now, the good speakers are the ones that are trained at speaking, the ones that sort of make their livelihood out of speaking, and those tend to be people that have been speaking already about something else, be it the libertarian movement or something, or freedom movement, or anarchists and stuff. And they may be right on some points, but you sort of get the feeling that they're like music men or flim flam men. Right? Mm. They got a top hat and they're doing a show. You sort of get that creepy feeling, at least I do. But I try to look past that and try to look at the real basics of what's going on. And if you can get past that and glean the information from them, never mind their particular political point of view, then whether you agree with them or not, you sort of have to dissociate that. You begin to realize that there's something really fundamentally sound going on in cryptocurrencies, because what it does is it just makes life so much more efficient. Because I could send you $5,000 now, or I could send you $4.35. And it wouldn't cost me anything, virtually anything, if we were both had Bitcoin accounts. If I owed you $4.35 right now, I wouldn't bother. It would cost me going through the normal channels, it would cost me probably $50 to send me $4.
Right, that's correct. Yes,
because of all the fees, right?
Right.
So that's an economy that's not happening right now because I'm in Abu Dhabi and you're in the United States. But Bitcoin opens up this potential to almost be a spontaneous shopper worldwide. You know, so I can spend small amounts of money across great distances. And it creates an economy that didn't exist before. It taps into something that could happen, but just been cost prohibitive to happen.
Kurt Brando, I'm sorry, I'm just let me just remind everyone. Kurt Brando is here from the United Arab Emirates. This is Cotolo Chronicles. We're chronicling something, and we hope. If you have any other questions after this, you know, of course, you can go to Juice Talk and download the show, listen to it again and again, or you could also ask Kurt about it at Kurt Brando. That's Brando with an A, but it'll write out itself, or at Digital Slob on Twitter. And he's also on Facebook, Kurt Brando. And you can go there and ask him. We're talking about Bitcoin, and I'm a little confused of what to call it. Anyway, I mean, just that alone. Bitcoins is plural, or is it Bitcoin as in money, monies, Bitcoin? And these are, from what I know so far, let's just review this. This is cryptocurrency, is virtual coins, again. These are not actual coins that you hold in your hands or your pockets, and they're worth something different every day based on what everyone decides they're worth. Everyone who is buying them, right? Everyone who's buying them. So this is very much like a stock market. Well, there's a certain amount of, well, I guess it's more like gold, really, because there's only a certain amount of gold, right?
Right, right. It's, a lot of people compare it to gold. Some people say it's the virtual gold.
So when they find out what it's worth tomorrow, is it because people have bought short, or can you buy short or buy high? I mean, how does that work?
It's all about supply and demand. It's like buying.
So you want to buy tomorrow. You want to put let's just say $2,000 into Bitcoin tomorrow. Okay.
Right.
Walk us through what a person does, because we understand that now there's no third party. This is just like sending a PDF to somebody else, only you're not going to have the PDF anymore. But it's that simple. There's no bank in between. It's a different from PayPal, because you don't have to have an account, right? You don't have to have an account, right?
No, you have all you need is something called a Bitcoin wallet, and you can get those from virtually any exchange.
Okay, so if you look that up and you go and you find out there are certain sites, and that's where you go and what have you. But now tomorrow you want to buy Bitcoin. Do you look every day to see what it's worth? What is it now?
Or I'm trying not to, because I'm trying to long-term it, because I like the feeling of waking up after a long sleep and realizing I have a lot of profit. But I think right now it's at about $500 each. And you don't have to buy one. It's like gold. You can buy very, very small fractions. You can buy a dollar worth of Bitcoin if you want, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, because you said if I wanted to give you $450, it would cost you $50 to go through the channels and but if you had to give me $4.50, you'd give it to me directly and I would get it, would go into my Bitcoin. But there's breakage involved. If every Bitcoin, and that's just done for convenience, right? That's a unit.
Right.
But there's breakage.
The Bitcoin actually goes back like 8 decimal places. So a lot of people say about Bitcoin, well, deflation is awful, because if you take deflation all the way to its ultimate conclusion, then a Porsche would cost a penny one day, right?
Yeah.
But that's fiat. That's because of the dollar has a limited number of divisions. But Bitcoins go back 8 decimal places, so it's like almost like metrics, you know, just because you can get someone one billionth of a Bitcoin if you wanted to.
You know, the Peanuts kids are right. Life insurance should cost 2 cents. That's the way I look at it. Okay.
Right.
So,
but if you got 2 grand and you want to buy Bitcoin,
yeah.
There's actually 2 ways of getting Bitcoin. One is to buy it, or 3 ways. One is to buy it, one is to mine it, which I don't recommend, because now you have to devote an entire bedroom into computer power just to mine the stuff. But you can also earn it. You could put a little Bitcoin address on your page, and you could accept donations, or you could sell something and get paid in Bitcoin. You know, people could just send their Bitcoins to your wallet involuntarily because you give them some service.
And does it cost to get a Bitcoin wallet? Does it cost? Or
no.
No?
Free.
Okay.
Yeah. There's lots of services that deal with merchants. So like you could put I think if you went to bitpay.com, you could set up an account and you get this little thing on your homepage and says, you know, we accept Bitcoins. You click the button, somebody can send you a Bitcoin. Hmm. And you wouldn't have to do anything else, but in order to realize that into what they call fiat currency, that's another word I've learned, fiat currency. Huh. In order to realize that, you would have to connect that wallet to a bank through one of these exchanges. the best one in the United States, I would say, the most secure one, the safest one, the most ones that would allow you to sleep at night for fear of worrying that you might, your money might get lost, is Coinbase. That's Coinbase.com. And it's also the simplest one. It's very much similar to PayPal. If anyone has ever created a PayPal account, you really just go through the same steps through Coinbase, attaching, you know, connecting Coinbase to your bank account. And through that, you can literally just buy the Bitcoin through Coinbase. And you put your $2,000 in. At this point, it would be maybe you'd get 4 Bitcoins for that. And it would take a few days, I think, maybe 3 or 4 days. But then eventually you would have in your Coinbase account 4 Bitcoins.
Well, that's not immediate. Take a 4 days to buy.
I think if you also sign up your credit card, it would be immediate. Some people don't want to do that. So there's
still another party involved because you got to get the money to get the coin. But once you have the coin.
Right, but in the universe, in the Bitcoin universe, there's no need for a third party. You know, and imagine Bitcoin becoming more and more, you know, useful. Like there's a pizza place in Dubai that accepts Bitcoin. You can buy computers with Bitcoin on Overstock.com and Tiger Direct.
Hmm.
So these companies are starting to say we accept Bitcoin because they want this money. It's a pool of money. You want to give, you know, if customers have money in Bitcoin, they want a piece of it. So as the Bitcoin universe expands, theoretically, I don't really think this will happen, but completely, theoretically, there becomes less and less need to transfer back and forth from the different currencies. Because I think there's always fees involved in going from dollars to euros, from dollars to gold, from dollars to anything.
Dollars to dollars.
But as long as you're in the Bitcoin universe, it's virtually free.
But here's something that we're talking about in globally, a lot, and that means a lot of people, because there's a lot of people in the world. And there's always only going to be 21 million Bitcoins. So,
right.
Okay, so that means that, I mean, they do that so that they have what? There's only 21 million, and yet, if everyone suddenly went on Bitcoin, a currency, cyber currency or cryptocurrency, there would still only be 21 million, but that, because there's a definitive amount, because there's a finite amount, that's what keeps it real, because
it keeps it honest.
Honest. Cause if you're right, cause, can people, all the shenanigans and stuff, aren't there going to be people who can counterfeit them? Aren't there people going to figure that out?
Counterfeiting is, they've really tried hard, because right now there is $6 billion of market cap in Bitcoin. People have put like $6 billion collectively into Bitcoin. So if there was a way to counterfeit them, there's a $6 billion prize for anyone that can do it. And it's been around for a long time, and I don't think they're going to be able to do it. What they can do, and what you hear about on the net, keep you up at night, is not that they could counterfeit them, but that they could just take them from you. Because Bitcoin is a lot like cash in a way. Once you lose it, you lose it. You know?
Because it's finite.
So if someone has your passwords or has access to your wallet and you haven't protected it well enough, then it could be taken away from you. And that's what happened with NT Gox. Everyone lost them. They lost their Bitcoins. They weren't counterfeited. They were just stolen from them.
Well, how did they get? But they still existed. There was still 21 million, no matter how you count them.
Let me blow your mind with something that's not going to happen.
Okay.
Because I read this. This is the absolute ceiling of what could happen with Bitcoin, which is not going to happen. But by some estimations, the clearest estimation says all of the money in the world is approximately $220 trillion.
Wait a second, that's all the money in the world? You know that number?
I looked it up. Yeah.
All the money in the world is what?
$220 trillion.
Wait, I gotta write this one down.
If money makes the world go around, it's about $220 trillion.
300 or 220?
No, 220 trillion.
There's only $220 trillion in the world? In all sorts of, in euros and, in American and in yen and in rubles. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. That's a lot of money though.
Well, I know it's a lot, but if you'd have asked me to guess, I would have went into the gazillions.
It's probably, I don't know what our debts are. Our debts could be a lot more, but the actual money that's going
That's
220 trillion. Now, if you divide that by how many Bitcoins could be potentially in existence, let's imagine a world in which there was only one currency.
Right.
Maybe there's some prophecy about that, but if there was only one currency and it was Bitcoin, there's 21 million Bitcoins, $220 trillion, do the math, one Bitcoin would be $10 million.
Wow, right? And there's only 21, no one, yeah, okay.
Right, but that's not going to happen. But anything that happens with Bitcoin as far as it getting into the, if people just have a few percentages of their personal wealth into Bitcoin, it's going to get a lot bigger, and it's going to get, probably the value is going to go higher. One of the first things that Bitcoin will probably make its mark on in the world is the exchange of foreign currencies like Western Union and MoneyGram.
Mm-hmm.
Those services really only exist to move money from one place to another. It's not right. Like banks. All they do is move money from the United States to Zimbabwe or United States or from England to India.
Right.
And they charge a lot of money to do that. And they charge more money depending on if you're sending money to a poor country like Somalia, they charge you more than if you were sending it to the UAE.
Huh.
They can charge like 20 to 30%. Like if I sent $100 to Somalia, they probably only get $70, whoever I'm sending it to.
Uh-huh.
Right? So imagine that with Bitcoin. If I send them $100 via Bitcoin, they get $99.98 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's a lot of reason for Bitcoin to be used in the developing world because it gives everyone access to money quickly and easily.
This sounds to me like one more creation of a digital platform, let's say. This sounds like one more that has the ability to take some other businesses that are long traditionally doing various services out, just the way, I mean, you're working now in a digital newspaper, and we know what has decimated digital technology has decimated print, right?
Right.
And this looks like something that, yeah, well, you know, this is, you know, along the Hallelujah Trail, there's a lot of, a lot of dead bodies, but that doesn't mean, that doesn't mean that's what progress does. But this sounds to me like something that if it were to be embraced by the people who really move big money around the world, the richest of the rich, and you know some of them, they live in your town, don't they? Don't they live
there? Yeah, I'm neighbors with them. Yeah,
I mean, more than half of that $220 trillion in the world is in your city, is in your country. I know, but still.
Large portion, yeah.
So what you're saying, and what I'm saying also, and tell me if I just thought this up while you were talking about that, or if in fact you were talking about this and I just interrupted, are Western people who move money, that particular businesses, those businesses are going to be in a lot of trouble because there'll be nothing left to move if people decide to do all their moving through Bitcoin, even if they still have a bank, right? That doesn't have to be the global currency, but the way you move currency becomes Bitcoin, that's going to be it for those companies, for those people.
In terms of survival of the fittest, in terms of Darwinism, right. I think foreign remittance, the remittance business is the low-hanging fruit that Bitcoin might take over first.
Now, are there gigantic gigantic billionaires? I mean, are there people who of tremendous wealth who are indeed caressing the use and the concept of Bitcoin?
There are, yes, there are. The reason I'm so interested, one of the reasons that, never mind the political motivations of the speakers, the reason I'm so interested in Bitcoin is because of all of the angel investors who are putting, important people that are putting a lot of money into the if you think about Bitcoin as like the internet before the first browser came out in like 1992, 93,
right.
we haven't really gotten to this killer app, or we haven't really brought it. This Bitcoin hasn't really come into the public in an easy to understand way. It's still way too complicated. Like the internet in 1992, it took 30 minutes to send an email to somebody. But the metaphor that you might want to compare Bitcoin to is like the post office for email. You know, what did email do to post to letters?
Okay.
You know, sort of.
Sure. There's another. Sort, yeah.
Right. Post. It costs 25 cents to send a letter. How much does it cost to send an email? Right.
It costs over 40 cents to send a letter now.
Right. So yeah. there was right. a economic motivation to figure out what email is all about because you can save money. Right.
Right.
So that's what's sort of triggering this. And what's really fascinating is this could be as profound as the creation of the internet. However, you couldn't buy a piece of the internet at the beginning. You know, you can actually buy a piece of Bitcoin. And I think there's only enough Bitcoin for one in every 300 people to have one Bitcoin. If you take the population of the whole planet, and you are giving out Bitcoin one at a time, only one in 300 people would have it. Hmm. So, everyone else, you have fractions of it, but I'm speaking metaphorically.
Well, metaphorically too, you have to wipe out all the people that don't do anything. I mean, those Amazon people, what's left of them, they're not going to be using right. Bitcoin, and there's still plenty of people who don't. But that's not to create a joke. That's to bring about what you're saying as some kind of reality. There's enough, is what I'm saying, right? That could actually be. In other words, everybody, you still have banks, people have banks, and people still buy gold, and people still buy stocks, but now people will also have a Bitcoin wallet, that's what you're saying, right?
That's right, and, imagine, there are even Bitcoin ATMs that are being created right now, and there's a few, I think, around the United States. I think there's one in Phoenix or something. So let's go on, it's really trying to catch hold, and the only thing I'll say about the politics of it is there is this sort of feeling that I sort of sympathize with, that we've always had this kind of feeling that there might be something wrong with the system. You know, I think everyone's heard that story about Warren Buffett saying that his secretary pays more taxes than he does, right?
Right.
So there is this kind of feeling that the game is fixed, like that the government's sort of out of control.
Sure.
If we could, we would take our ball and go home,
mm-hmm.
right? We wouldn't play this game. Well, Bitcoin, and this is why it's a little bit of a threat, and many governments are making it very hard to deal with, including China right now, making it very hard to play in this Bitcoin playground, is because people now, Bitcoin gives them the opportunity to maybe take their ball and go home. One of the reasons Bitcoin got so valuable is because around the world it was correlated with all these governments that were going belly up: Cyprus, Greece, Argentina. Their inflation went 30%. I mean, imagine you're in Argentina and you got the equivalent of $50,000 in the bank, but because of inflation, it's only $30,000. Literally overnight, they lost almost all their savings in the bank.
Wow.
That makes Bitcoin seem almost stable compared to, their life there. So, and the same thing happened with Greece with the euro crisis. A lot of people in Greece who had any money put it in Bitcoin because it was a place to store their wealth during the crisis. And so every time that happens now, there's, as Bitcoin becomes more pervasive, people in the back of their mind are thinking, well, there is this other thing I can maybe look into.
Right? Yeah.
So that's kind of what's happening. So it's been fascinating to me just to look at it, because it's kind of like it's kind of like the accountants are taking over. It's kind of like the Bitcoin people who created Bitcoin are like saying, all right, no more, this is going to be all transparent. Everybody, this is going to be all transparent. Everyone's going to know what's going on, and you can't be manipulating the currency in order to pay off national debt. And, we're all going to start playing by the same rules, and that makes some people uncomfortable.
Yeah, that would certainly make some people. The actual name I'm always into these kind of things. Bit, does that come from byte? Bitcoin, coin obviously a representing a currency. Is that what Bitcoin or is it Bitcoin? Or do you know?
Bitcoin, what, just B-I-T.
No, I know that, but what, do you know what that means or who decided it was bit and not a cyber coin or do you know where the name itself?
I think it came from the original proof of concept from Satoshi Nakamoto in 2008 or whenever he did his, whenever he posted his blog post.
So he made it up. He just said Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Bitcoin.
And by the way, because of the popularity, we don't have to get into it, but there are literally hundreds now of alternative cryptocurrencies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's Litecoin, and there's the Dogecoin, which has a picture of a dog on it. There's there's literally, I think there's a website you can go to, I don't know, where you can create your own coin. You can have the Frank coin.
Oh, my goodness. Well, wait a second. Those spinoffs can cause some trouble, can't they?
Well, sort of, but yeah, because that's one of the things. The question is, will Bitcoin be like the MySpace? Will something else come in, like Facebook will take over? Or will it be like Napster? If the entire world decides just to shut this thing down, if like every government decides to shut it down, will it create something that's harder to shut down? Because what happened with Napster, I was talking to the beginning of the show. What happened with Napster, if you remember, you could share files, but all of the files were on a central server in one place, and the government came in and shut that thing down. So in reaction to that came P2P file sharing, where the government couldn't shut that down anymore because it was decentralized information.
Yeah.
So they could come in and close one. They would have to shut down the internet and shut down P2P. It was like whack-a-mole, so they couldn't do it. So eventually they acquiesced. And Bitcoin is kind of like I said, the grandchild of Napster in this way, because it's decentralized money.
Yeah.
So
there's still a danger, and I don't know who could shut it down based on what. That's not like, I mean, Napster in a sense, because what Napster ran into, the trouble that Napster and other peer-to-peer things had problems with, all had to do with the law and their international copyright laws, the idea that you can't make copies because people owned intellectual property and stuff, right? And then, and we were, believe it or not, you may know this too, Lawrence Gesick, is that his name? I forgot his name, Dr. Lawrence.
Yeah, Gesick.
He was on this show. He was like the first internet show he ever came on to talk about that stuff years ago. And he tried to create a cryptic copyright, cosmetologize. What kind of a word is that? He tried to cosmetically change the copyright from, to be global so that it would, right. So you would have to get a copyright. Because obviously the problem with sharing files, and boy, you're right. This is where we started with this whole thing. You know, piracy is only piracy if you're buying or selling. Sharing is not piracy, right? When is sharing policy? So besides, who polices it? Right?
Right.
So, but the Bitcoin thing is different because it's not, Yokohama, I forgot his name already.
Nakamoto.
So this obviously a smart guy, but you're saying 21 million, it's always going to be 21 million. He has a certain amount, and it's not like at all like a Napster or peer-to-peer sharing, because you're not sharing.
Right, but it is decentralized peer-to-peer network. It's a decentralized peer-to-peer network.
But that wasn't the problem, because there's still peer-to-peer, right? You could still download, get things, and this is the only reason the porn industry is still around on the internet, right?
Right, but because of peer-to-peer, things have built up. Entire businesses, legitimate businesses, have built up. If you remember iTunes itself, they figured out, all that stuff on Napster was free but hard to get to, so why don't we make it just a little bit, for a little bit of money, make it really easy to get to.
Right.
So the cost of music went way, way down if you wanted to buy it, but it became real, real easy to do it through iTunes. And what's going on now is nothing can stop me, no government can stop me from sending you a Bitcoin, but they could stop you from transferring that back to your bank, at the moment, because the bank has to deal with the government. So the institutions. So there are things that governments can do to slow down Bitcoin, but that it's sort of like stopping a benevolent virus, really.
So it's not in the interest. Ultimately, it's not in the interest to quash this thing. The in the interest of people and money and economies, it is in the interest of governments to see this as one other means of.
I would think so, because, like I said, it creates jobs, it creates an economy, it creates. I'm trying to remember that phrase. Like when you're at the grocery store, impulse buying. And, you know, it creates a whole different level of impulse buying.
Point of purchase.
Because now, if somebody tells me there's the best bubble gum in the world is in Bulgaria, I can go on the internet and I could, you know, buy it right now, you know, without having to. What if that guy doesn't take MasterCard? Well, I can just send him Bitcoin.
Yes.
So that's where it's really going.
But the strange thing about the internet, this is what I mean when you said there were spinoffs now, Bitcoin already, is that we talked about how digital technology has managed in its popularity to run down businesses, analog businesses, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, also, but in another sense, the very nature of the internet, the information, the free flow of information, which has only been a problem because of laws and how polarized the world has become, or always was, actually, in terms of borders, the borders of laws and how things change, right? But in fact, the internet, the digital technology has not only ruined some analog business, it's ruined some digital businesses also. Right? When I bring up the porn industry, I'm just saying that, you know, you realize how they, probably one of the first industries to come along and say, we're going to use this, this platform, this internet stuff, while everybody was, nobody wanted to come near it. When you and I were nobody wanted anything to do with this. Okay?
Right.
And they ran in, they got in, and they started making money, and individuals started making money, and companies started making money. And what eventually happened was the internet, the spirit and the function and the creation of the internet, I sound like an internet evangelist now, right? Like, really, could you think about it? It was always to share, to have free stuff. It was all about free and sharing, and so there was no money involved. And so because of that, some industries have had problems. See, that's what happened with the peer-to-peer and Napster. All of a sudden, people for free were just sending stuff around. Okay. And that was so early in the history of the internet and law that that got ruined. But you and I both know that, right now, that there's not a computer sold today that can't make its own a library of music that, if you bought it, would be $1 billion, right? Or $1 billion bitcoins or whatever. There's still ways of doing it. The very nature of the internet can eat up the profitable means of progress with the internet.
Yeah, it's sort of like evolution on hyperdrive. You know, just whatever is the most cost-efficient way of doing. There'll always be winners and losers. Actually, one of the winners that's benefiting now from Bitcoin, believe it or not, is the marijuana sellers in Colorado.
Really?
Right, because they can't get Visa or MasterCard. They can't get they're getting a hard time from the banks, because remember, the banks have to deal with the federal government, and according to the federal government, marijuana is still a no-no. So they're having trouble getting legitimized through the institutions, financial institutions where they live. But Bitcoin, they can certainly. So they're actually starting to accept Bitcoin and they're thriving. So there are winners and losers based on the evolution. And the government's really trying hard to keep up. The United States is being real careful about Bitcoin. China is being somewhat schizophrenic about it because China has all these huge government controls on money so that the rich people can't get their money out of China, because China wants to keep the money in China.
Mm-hmm.
But Bitcoin offers them a way of the rich Chinese people putting all their money in Bitcoin and going to New York and taking all their money out. So that's one of the reasons Bitcoin went up to $1,200, was because China finally found out about it. And as it's been fluctuating ever since, sort of based on what China does, because China is a huge country, and I think that 60% of all Bitcoin volume is coming to and from, going from China right now. So, yeah, but there are going to be winners and losers, and it's going to be hard to keep track.
The Chinese, I don't know why they're worried about their economy, because when you spend Chinese money, what like maybe a half hour later, you want to spend it again. So I don't understand how they can't. But the thing, yeah. But China is eventually not going to, they're not going to be able to become an island that doesn't have the free flow of internet. Whatever they block, no matter how much they try, this is what I'm saying too, is that there's this power that was created, this internet, this thing was so immense, nobody had any idea, and it runs over anything that wants to get in its way. From,
right.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of these things are falling. This is another reason why it's progressing so quickly. Tell me if I'm wrong, because you're the guy who writes about this stuff. Isn't it progressing so quickly because there are people are going around stuff and they're going over stuff whenever they read? There's no bump in a road like an analog. You don't have to get your tractor to go over a real bump. You just go around it. They'll find another program. They'll find another way of doing it.
Right.
it's so powerful that I don't understand how any country eventually is going to be able to. Now, when that happens, then we're talking about a more globally efficient world, because you're going to have to deal with people. In other words, the borders are going to be going down. That's what this is doing. It's crushing all the borders.
First, Bitcoin will thrive in Bitcoin-friendly places. Cyprus is one of the most, right now, one of the most, because of the crisis, it's because of the people that are desperate because their own currency has failed so badly. Mm-hmm. Cyprus has opened up its first Bitcoin bank, and the University of Cyprus is accepting Bitcoin from students to pay for their tuition and fees. And, so all it takes is sort of a stronghold, and it will sort of spread out from there. And once banks start really accepting Bitcoin as a medium of exchange, things will get going. And think about Western Union. Businesses like Western Union and MoneyGram, there are more than one. The Western Union has competitors, but there's the first one that decides to start dealing in Bitcoin and charging a tiny fraction of what they've been charging. They will lose profit per exchange, but they'll make it up on volume. And they'll become the top, remittance. They'll be the only remittance. They'll take over. They'll take over the whole place.
Wow.
Although they'll be making less money, they will be getting all the money.
You can suddenly see how people like Howard Hughes and the rare bunch of people, a bunch, it's not even a bunch, I don't know, a rare number of people in the world who are involved in any one particular thing, and in his case, aviation, how suddenly he stops one day and he goes, oh, holy crap, jets. We gotta get jets going. And everybody's looking at him like, what are you nuts? What do you mean jets? What are you talking? He goes, that's the future. That's the way of the future. And so here and there, there've got to be people. And if they get it going, and then once it's proven, just like the internet, and that's why we have such a commercial internet. You and I, let's face it, we predicted this was going to happen. We knew they were going to come in here and try to take over and just make it into an analog world, and they haven't. They've only managed to use the internet as a marketing tool.
Right.
I mean, CBS can't.
And they eventually give up and just say, okay, how can we? Eventually, yeah. You get the iTunes, and they figure out a way to make money off of the chaos.
Yes. Yeah,
that's what's probably going to happen.
But ultimately,
and it's going to take time. Some people say, Bitcoin's going to take off. In the next couple of years, I think it'll take longer than that. I think people's behaviors change slowly because I think, let's face it, if you have all your wealth in a bank, you're probably going to sleep better tonight than if you had all your wealth in Bitcoin right now, because it's a high risk endeavor.
Yeah,
but that's going to change over time.
The most important thing here, and tell me if you agree with this or you just think I'm a dope. Of course, you think I'm a dope anyway, but that's not the point. And the thing is, now that this concept has come to the surface, now that somebody has figured out a way to develop this area and this territory in the cyber world, it's not going away. Even if there is no more even if Bitcoin, it cannibalizes itself, even if it implodes or whatever, this particular concept of cyber global, cyber money or cyber exchange is here to stay. Do you aver with that?
Yeah, you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah, right? That's the one. That's the metaphor I was looking for it again.
Yeah, even if it's not Bitcoin, we'll call it something else. It won't be MySpace, it'll be Facebook. It won't be Netscape browser, it'll be Safari or Chrome. But they're gonna figure the concept, the math is the math, the invention is the invention, and it's better.
And the genie has to put himself, if I'm not mistaken, the genie, you would know this, that's that part of the world, isn't it? Where there are bottles with genies? The genie comes out, and suppose a genie came out and said, and you may think this is not on topic, but it really is on topic. When a genie comes out, he automatically gives you wishes so he could stay out? Is that what happens?
I think that was the original, yeah.
Well, how come genies...
The genie gets its freedom after he grants 3 wishes.
And where do genies go once they're free? It doesn't have anything concrete about it. Because don't the genies go back in, or is that just somebody made that up? They'll all go back in the bottle and I'm free to go in and out, but I live there because I'm a little guy and then I'm a big one. I'm confused at this genie. Go ahead.
We've hit a wall. I'm going to have to Google this.
We're going to have to look up that genie thing. I think that's a little weird. Because what if you said, I don't want those 3 wishes, get out of here. Does he have to go back in?
I don't know. I think that's what's the motivation for the genie granting the wishes. He wants us to get his freedom.
Yeah. What happens when the genie comes out? What does he do? Does he drive a cab? Does he go to New York and drive a cab? I never thought of this. I start thinking of these things. But anyway, let's go back. It is on topic because, if all of a sudden there are genies. And how many bottles were there? How many genies were there? There's a book I think you need to get into.
There was 21 million genies, so we're going to go back on top.
Yeah, well, you need to do the genie book.
There were 21 million genies, not anymore. It's like deflationary genie economy. That's what it was.
Boy, I'm telling you, I haven't been the same since Sabu died, Kirk Brando's, Kirk Brando's with us from the United Arab Emirates. And did they have a day of mourning when Peter O'Toole died? Over there,
we reported it, but no, that wasn't
there. It's great. It's just great how a man from a kid from Louisiana could wind up in all parts of the globe, and then wind up in the United Arab Emirates in a 100% air conditioned home, because there's no way you go open the windows, right?
Absolutely.
What is the weather now? My people in Canada wanted to know, because we're connected to, SRN Media Works over there in Canada. That's where our servers and stuff, and then it goes over to England. And they're all interested in the weather. What's the weather this time of year? Is it spring? In springtime in Abu Dhabi. What's going on over there?
It's always spring, at least. But, it's like in Celsius, I guess your Canadian friends want Celsius. It's up to about 27 or 28 right now. It's starting to get hotter, a little bit hotter. It peaks out in August and September about 45 Celsius or like 120 degrees.
But it's a dry heat. It's a dry
heat. No, I think I told you before, we all live like hamsters in a cage in the summer. We just are hamsters in a hamster box. We just moved from one air-conditioned cubicle to another. We don't really...
But Dubai has that indoor ski slope, doesn't it?
That's right. That's
you could go skiing in Dubai, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's 115 outside and it's 28 degrees inside.
That's a shocker if you go right out, huh?
People die? I don't know what the carbon footprint is on that, but it's pretty massive.
I would imagine, especially in the sand. There's a footprint for you. Kurt Brando is with us, and Bitcoin is something we're going to have to follow up on this. We have a little more time though, but we're going to have to follow up on this. Where would somebody go tomorrow if they want to put on their whatever it is, the Yahoo, they go to the news or Google News, or what do they do? Would they put in Bitcoin news? I mean, how would they follow daily what's going on? What's a best site or two to go?
One of the best news sites is Coindesk.com, and they do a pretty good job of reporting on the news of the day. There are fluctuations. There are rumors. There are so many rumors in the subject that it's sometimes hard to keep pace because the price fluctuates so wildly based on rumors. Like there was just a rumor today, just a few hours ago. I still don't know if it's true. If China is once again going to put the hammer down on Bitcoin, if they do, then it's causing the price to drop 50. It's dropped like $50 in the last 2 or 3 hours. So it's not for the faint of heart. But if I were you, if I was giving advice to somebody about what to do with Bitcoin, I would say, if you're the sort of person who has, if you're into fantasy football, you put a little money into fantasy football, just whatever money you put into fantasy football, put it into Bitcoin because it's like fantasy football in the off season. You know, if you can just sort of buy half a Bitcoin or a quarter of a Bitcoin and just sort of get in the game and you'll start to see it and you'll start getting interested in it. You and your friends will start talking about it like it was fantasy football. And it'll be something that it'll educate you. What it's done for me is it's educated me about money in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't understand that much about money. We sort of take it for granted. You know, think about it. I mean, if you're coming from another planet and you saw somebody give somebody a motorcycle and in exchange they gave them a few pieces of paper, you would go, that doesn't look like a good deal at all. What's going on there? Right? And
I don't know. No, but those wouldn't be highly intellectual aliens, would they? I mean, they got here. They could build a vehicle to get here, and yet they look and go, paper? And that's stupid. What is that all about?
Well, my point is, it's something we learned through exposure.
Yes.
So we don't really ask. We never really ask the question.
It's true. We don't. You're right. When you look at it,
a lot of people think the price of milk goes up because the cows got unionized, right?
Do you think? That's right. You're right. You're absolutely right. That's the cow union. I saw a commercial where they didn't even know that a cow. There was a TV commercial where a guy was trying to. They didn't know a cow was a girl, was a female. They thought a bull was. And what you're talking about is absolutely correct, and I think that the education on various things is not full fledged across the board with people. And I don't. You think every day you're right. You look at a $10 bill. It's a $10 bill.
Right.
And this is why people get confused when they go to a foreign country and they don't know what to do. When I remember when I went to England, the dollar was worth 2.50 when I was in England back. And I stayed there, you know, and I was living there for a while. And worth 2.50 in America. But you got to get used to the fact that a pound is $2.50. But your mindset is it's one. It's a unit, right? And five is a unit. It's not five times 2.50. And when you get used to that, so you don't really know what you're spending.
And it hurts your brain and you're sort of annoyed that they have a different currency than yours.
Yeah.
And you're like, why can't we just all be on dollars? At least, you know.
Yeah, but in fact,
you don't like learning these stuff. It hurts the brain.
That's right. We should be saying, until we're blaming them as opposed to blaming ourselves for not being able to understand it. Those are idiots. I mean, think about that. That's true. It's like, don't try to learn it. Just do it my way. You know? Imbeciles. We're imbeciles. Maybe that's why we give paper to people, and they give us motorcycles. Maybe that is indeed stupid. Well, the whole idea of money is dumb anyway, isn't it? I mean, it's paper. This is a whole. This go. They talking about this in the books, in the Zen Buddhist books, in the in the 50s. The idea of currency is like, what is it? It's paper that we put a value upon,
right?
And then we get.
Yeah. And that's when people say that there's no intrinsic value in Bitcoin. But there's really no intrinsic. What does that mean? There's no intrinsic value in anything.
Yes. Yes. That's it. Right. Right. So to say this is stupid is to say everything is stupid. Really, it's just what you accept.
Right. When the Fed prints $70 billion more of what you have in the bank,
Did I lose you? Hello? Kirk? Dun, dun, dun. We have some trouble from the United Arab Emirates? Hello? Kirk Brando. Dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. There's a problem with this call.
Hello, hello.
Oh, there. Okay, yeah, it was a problem. With, oh, wow, I thought we were being, I thought the NSA was on us. Yeah.
Well, we almost lasted the whole show without a disconnection.
That's pretty good. That was actually pretty good. Well, let's see what we've learned so far, what we can do, because now we know, if nothing else, if anybody out there knows nothing else, and I consider my audience to be pretty intelligent, so I'm sure they picked up a bunch of stuff. Coindesk.com is a place they could go. And who is there a columnist or somebody? Where did somebody cover Bitcoin in some?
Let's see. The Wall Street Journal has a blog that's devoted to Bitcoin. That's good, but I can't remember what it is. But if you Google WSJ and Bitcoin and blog, I'm sure it will come up.
I guess in general, if you were just to Google or Yahoo or Yoggle or Google Bitcoin, you would probably come up with a whole bunch of things, and you could do your own investigation.
And if you YouTube Bitcoin, you'll see all those speakers that I talked about, and they have a lot to. It's educational, but again, I would just take the political bit with a grain of salt. You know?
So they do. They tag this political deal on it. They use it for some. I don't totally understand.
This will get rid of our you know, all the bad things and the coming economic apocalypse and all that sort of thing.
Which
I don't believe in.
But. I mean, those guys. Yeah, I've seen those guys. And there have been, I've not seen them. I don't spend a lot of time. But how the economic demise of the world has been, like it's getting as popular as as the end of the world.
Right. I would say a guarantee the best time to get into Bitcoin, if you're not going to get into it now, is when those guys start criticizing Bitcoin. Because right now they're loving it, but eventually it's going to become mainstream, and Bitcoin will be the problem, not the solution. When that happens for them, get Bitcoin, because it's really getting mainstream now.
Should a person wait for? I mean, suppose I go tomorrow and say, like, well, it was 500 yesterday, it's 200 today. Now, I'm not looking. You don't know how stocks go up. You don't know why Bitcoin's going to go up either. Would I say to myself, well, that's a bargain? I'll get two. I'll and then because tomorrow could be five. And if it goes up, then should I sell them or should I keep them? I don't. You know, it's like where do you get advice?
I really think it should just sort of be like you should just budget it. Like say, you know, I can put $20 a month into Bitcoin.
Okay.
And say, well, whatever that buys every fourth week of the month or whatever, that's what I'm going to do.
And just because
otherwise you'll drive yourself nuts trying to short the market or try to day trade. And that. I've seen those people, and they don't live hyping lives. I would just play with it. But if you get some small bit of Bitcoin, it's enough to get you in the game. And if you put in $20 today, and tomorrow or next week you have $50 suddenly,
right.
You go, let me look into this. I'm going to Google this some more, right? It'll motivate you to learn about it. And it's like I said, it's just a real education, and it helps people think about money and their future and how they take care of their wealth.
This is fine advice from a man who knows who knows about the cutting edge. No, you know about the cut. You're on the cutting edge and knows about things that can prosper on the internet. I want to tell you this something, people. There are people you meet on the internet and through these virtual friends you have. I've never been in the same room, although I'd love to be in the same room with Mr. Brando, but he hasn't invited me over or anything. No, he hasn't. But the thing is, what I'm saying is that there are great voices. There are people we never would know based on this technology. And ultimately, this technology has brought us the most tremendous. I don't care what you say about the bad things, and I've done so many shows on this when people complaining about the way it was and the way it is now because of the, but people don't even realize how the great things that digital technology has done for us. And when Kirk Brando tells you something, imagine if you got into, if you called up that Twitter guy when after you were on this show and said, hey, I'd like to put a couple of hundred, I got a couple of $1,000. I like this thing. Imagine now, I mean, you'd be like, you know, what the hell, right? Even though they're losing money, you'd be okay. And you would be in on, imagine that, being on Twitter. And how many of these places that we talked about have gone public now, right? I mean, what?
Facebook, Twitter, lots of them.
Yeah.
And I hope I answered some of your listeners' questions, but feel free to email me or catch me on Twitter if you have any other questions.
Get Kurt at Twitter, at Kurt Brando, and at digitalslob.com. All the genie questions I'll take, fcatolo@yahoo.com, because I'm gonna look into this legend and see what.
I feel like I disappointed you there. I'm sorry.
I went down a rabbit trail, and I'll figure it out somehow. And eventually, I'll do a show on it. But we'll know. You heard it first here, and this is the show you're gonna want to listen to again, which you can go do. And I can't thank you enough for getting up so early. What time do you go to work?
I enjoyed it a lot. I'll do it for you.
And what time do you? Thank you very much. And you'll do it again too, I might add, because I want you to be on. Not necessarily more. I'm not going to ask you to get up this early once a month, but I really want to talk to more, because you always bring something to the table. I mean, I had a table here, but you bring something to the table, and we learn about it. And I like being first on this stuff too, because you are arguably one of the best connections I've made since my involvement with the internet. I mean that.
Well, that's really, really good to hear. I appreciate that. I appreciate that a lot, Frank.
And I hope you come back and do more. I hope you do more stuff. And I want, I encourage you. I don't know, books, plays, things. Well, when I get the first draft of Alibaba, which might be the musical, which might be called Open Sesame. I don't know. I'm just thinking it through now. I'm going to send it over to you, Kurt Brando. Again, thank you. How do you say thank you in Arabic?
Inshallah, yeah.
Inshallah? What?
Yeah, inshallah.
Inshallah! To you and yours, Mr. Brando. We'll be in touch through all the various means, because we're billions of miles away, but we're right here. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Frank. Take care.
Thank you, Kurt. Good night. Good day. Good morning. I don't know. Whatever. He's gone already. So it's good morning, Ed. Kurt Brando. And that's exclusive, I may add, because, Kurt Brando doesn't just pop up on any shows, for goodness sakes. Only here at Cotolo Chronicles. Now you know a little bit more about Bitcoin, and you'll be well-versed in it. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show, and we're almost flying out of this thing. Right now, get Kurt Brando at Twitter. Get to these various other places I told you about. Coindesk.com. Google Bitcoin, Yahoo Bitcoin. Do what you got to do for that. And then find out more about it. Write to me, write to Kurt. We might have given you, for all you, there must be people out there right now who are going to be rich. Imagine that. You're going to be rich based on the fact that you heard this show. Wow. That's true. There are people. Well, I first heard it. He just takes out his pipe. When I first heard it on that Cotolo Chronicles program. It's not a program, it's a show. Rather, show. When I first heard it, now I own Arizona. That's a state in the United States. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Next week, who knows? CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. You can go there, you could get it there. Find out what's going to happen next week. Get me at Facebook, Frank Cotolo. I'll make you my friend, because you are my friend. And my friends, and you are my friends, as Franklin Delano Roosevelt said. And where else? I'm on Twitter, at Frank Cotolo. And right now, follow at Daily Meds. Daily Meds. At Daily Meds, and instead of an S, it's a Z. A lot of fun. One thing a day you get free, and you'll just love it. And me, at Frank Cotolo, and any other possible way, you can do it, because this is the great wide world of the internet. For now, good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you are. Thank you, Kurt Brando. We'll be back again soon enough. Stay well. Stay healthy. Eat a lot of apples or whatever it is that makes you well. And what can I do? I have nothing more to say.